and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Our text for this morning is taken from Acts 2, verse 1, and if you'd like, you might turn to the bottom of page 5, and I'll be referencing that text throughout our message today. Acts 2, verse 1 holds our text for this morning's message. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. So far the text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living and risen Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
2 weeks from today, a very special event will be honored and remembered in American history. It will be the 77th anniversary of the landing of the Allied troops at Normandy on D-Day. On June 6, 1944, 1,100 surface ships were gathered off of the coast of France. 3 years went into the planning for D-Day. 3 years. And 160,000 American troops came together to invade France, which would later turn out to be the beginning of the end of World War II. But no matter how much planning had been done for that invasion, and it was a lot, this couldn't compare with another invasion. God the Father's spiritual invasion of the disciples on that first Pentecost Sunday. Remember how they were before that, the disciples, that is. It says after Jesus died, they were scared. They were terrified. They hid some places. They couldn't find them sometimes. And believe me, we're not speaking ill of the disciples. They gave their lives for Christ. But before Pentecost, they were nervous, afraid of what was going on. But of course, the resurrection changed all that. But still, they didn't understand Jesus' mission totally. Because didn't they say at Jesus' ascension, Lord, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? Even then, they were looking for an earthly kingdom to remove the Roman yoke of authority on them. Even then, they didn't quite fully understand the mission of Christ on earth. But then, Pentecost came. And today we celebrate the birthday of the Christian church on earth. All hail the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. Let us do, first of all, Pentecost prelude. 10 days after Jesus ascended, Pentecost occurred in Jerusalem. They were all with one accord in one place. We read that. With tongues of fire and the sound of rushing mighty wind, it fell upon the disciples. Dramatic event. Christ, shortly after ascending into heaven, sends his Holy Spirit. And the breath of the Holy Spirit goes across these glowing embers of these men. And they were spiritually set on fire. Never will they be the same again. Now, for the first time, they truly understood the humble birth at Bethlehem. The baptism in the Jordan River. The anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. The crucifixion of Jesus on the cross. His death for our sins. And finally, his glorious and victorious resurrection. Now it all came into play, and now they understood. Now they understood what it was all about. And so they went out with conviction and the fire of the Spirit in their midst and in their hearts. And you know this. In one day, on Pentecost, 3,000 believers were added to the church. 3,000. Before Pentecost, the Caesars of Rome and the leaders of the Roman Empire scoffed at this little band. And they said, what can they do to the mighty Roman Empire? But after Pentecost, when the church grew like mad by the power of that same Holy Spirit, one Roman Empire, a true fact in history, one Roman Emperor, rather, who had scoffed at religion, and especially Christianity, on his deathbed made the following dramatic statement, a true story. He was dying, He put his hand up like this, and with his dying breath, he said to heaven, "Thou hast conquered, O Galilean. Thou hast conquered." And within only 300 years, when Constantine became emperor of Rome, he favored the Christian religion. That's how far it had come. And by 700 AD, 7 centuries after Pentecost, Charlemagne made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. Wow! How far Christianity had come in only 7 short centuries of time. Far from being persecuted, it was now an official religion of the Roman Empire. And it all began on that first Pentecost. Yes, Pentecost was certainly a shock to those 12 men, just like the story of the men a number of years ago who were waiting for their child to be born. They were all in the waiting room, a large group of fathers. And so they're waiting, they're scared, you know, nervous, waiting to see about their baby and their pregnant wife. Suddenly, a nurse bursts open the door, comes up to Father and says, "Congratulations, you are the father of twins." "Boy, that's great," said the father. "And just coincidentally, I work for the Minnesota Twins." And, yeah, that's great. 5 minutes before he left, another nurse bursts in, walks up to another father and says, "You are the father of triplets." "Wow, that's great," said the father. "I just happen to work for the 3M company." A couple minutes went by. The third father heard all this going on. He suddenly fainted. And the nurse came up to him, woke him up and said, "Are you sick?" He says, no, but hearing their stories, I suddenly realized I work for 7-Up. The disciples were just as shocked as these fathers when they saw what the Holy Spirit worked in their midst. And suddenly they realized, indeed, that the words of the Pharisees to them, spoken only a few months after Pentecost, came true. The Pharisees, and you can see this in the book of Acts, the Pharisees said of these men, "They have turned the world upside down for Christ." And they did. And I'm sure you also remember on that first Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem, what the Pharisees said about Christ and the crowds. "Look," they said, "the world has gone after him." And it has. It has. All because of that first Pentecost celebration and the coming of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of men, women, and children everywhere. Let's view, secondly, Pentecost power. So what happened on that day? Well, we showed a little bit of it in our children's sermon. A little fire appeared on Eve. It was physical fire, but of course it couldn't hurt them because it was God's sin. But a physical fire appeared on the heads of the disciples, and also on the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And the result was they spoke in other tongues, foreign languages, not charismatic tongues, but foreign languages. And everybody heard the gospel of Christ in their own language. Amazing. But miracles have occurred for you too. On the day of your baptism, you know what happened. Faithful parents and guardians brought you to the baptismal font, much like the baptismal font in this church. The name of Jesus was used in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Water was applied 3 times to your head, and you were born again. The chill of sin was removed. Original sin was washed away. That's what happens in baptism. Original sin is washed away. But there's one caution. Baptism does guarantee faith, absolutely, but it doesn't guarantee heaven. And so a baptismal faith, again, where the Holy Spirit works the very first instance in our life, the gift of faith in Christ, it must be nurtured constantly. And we are always thrilled when parents bring their children to church. So So that baptismal faith can grow into a mature faith and grow on and on, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Begun on the day of our baptism, sometimes people say they long for that first Pentecost when all these things happen. It can happen again. Maybe not with those visible signs. But the Holy Spirit can and will grow a church, absolutely, if we follow the formula given in the Holy Scriptures. Doesn't the Bible say the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and your children? That's what I want to leave with you today. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children. We may not see the fire and zeal the first disciples said, but we will feel the fire and zeal. It all starts, for example, with the reception of communion, which we're about to receive in a few moments. In this container is the miracle and lifeblood of the Christian church. It is the real and true body and blood of Christ. For with the wafer on the top of that cap, you and I will receive with our mouth in a way that we cannot explain or understand, yet true nonetheless, the true body of Christ. It is not symbolic. It is the actual body of Christ. And with that wine, we will receive with our mouth, on our lips, in a way that we cannot explain or understand, the real and actual blood of Christ. And we will feel the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit who began faith in you and me, and that baptismal font now takes the opportunity to strengthen our faith every day that we partake of the body and blood of Christ. And that is what I share with you. Even a church without a pastor can grow. Never feel that, well, things aren't as good as they could be. This congregation, you are a vibrant congregation. I learned that in Bible study this morning. This church can do anything they want, according to the will of God and the workings of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is with you. Evangelism is an important part of everything that you do in this congregation. In 1989, I received a call while serving a church in Lancaster. They asked me to start a church here in Carlsbad. And I had always been an evangelist. I tried to figure out how I would do that. And so I thought about it a lot and prayed about it a lot, and I decided that I would do a type of evangelism that's not done very often by pastors because it's a lot of work. I was going to go door to door. And so in 16 years, I visited 32,000 homes door to door. And this is what I gave them: the message of the Holy Spirit through the cross of Christ. Now, which was farmland, the LCEF bought it for us. There's a beautiful, brand new church in Carlsbad. From the beginning, there was nothing, and the only people to do the work was my family, a wife, and two children, and others who would help us. But the point I'm making is that nothing to do with me. It was the Holy Spirit again, and it can happen to you. In every church I go to, I always take some of these with me and share them with the members, because that's how Christ works. You touch the hearts of someone, and you never know what was going to happen. But talk must be followed by action. It's like the story of the Christian man who died, and he went to heaven. And so he's asking for a tour around the place. And the angel says, well, look in here. He opens up the door, and all he sees is a row of tongues. Complete row of tongues. And he was puzzled. He said, I don't get it. Why is there a row of tongues? He said, well, those are the people who said they were Christians, but they didn't live the Christian life, so only their tongues made it to heaven. Now, that's a silly thing to say, but it brings a point across that our faith must be alive with works. We're saved only by grace. Absolutely. But yet, it must be followed up by action. And that's what I will share with you today. Armed and strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God through the actual and real body and blood of Christ, we can share the message of Christ crucified and risen, and this church will absolutely grow because we're using the means of grace He has given us.
Yes, you thoroughly find the Pentecost potential. As God has worked in the past, He continues to work in His church in the future as well. We have to realize where the source of our faith has begun. It's deep down inside of us. I've noticed over the years that the church in general, the Central Church, has a lot of programs and things. But we must recognize where the church faith becomes. It's deep down inside of us. It must be nurtured by sacrament. It must be nurtured by the body and blood of Christ. And it will come out, it will grow and expand, and we'll tell others right around here that Jesus is their Savior. It's like the story of the man who went up north to Washington State. And there he went to a dam on the river up there, Columbia River. And it's a huge dam, you've probably been there. It goes long way across, and there's a spillway on top where excess water spills over and pours over ahead into the front of the dam. Well, not knowing anything about the type of dam technology, he said to them, "Well, how much power is generated by this water that spills over the top?" And the leader laughed and said, "No, sir. That is just spill water. No power is generated by the water that spills over the top. The power in this edifice is deep down inside. You can't hear it, you can't see it, but there's large turbines down there that spin. And as the turbine spins, they connect it to generators, which generate the electricity that's used by half of the state of Washington." It's the same with our faith as the water. You can't see it, you can't hear it, but it's deep down inside of one. Deep down in our hearts is our faith in Christ. No one will take that from you. We live in the greatest country on earth. The greatest Christian country on earth, not because of our vast array of wonderful people and because of our vast amount of industrial output and natural resources. No. We live in the greatest country on earth because of faith in the hearts of people like you across this nation who this morning are celebrating Pentecost and the message of Christ crucified and risen. That is the sole greatness of America. And as long as our faith in Christ remains supreme and this country remains firmly Christ-centered, God and the Holy Spirit will continue to bless our church. And that is the message I leave with you. You too, like the Pharisees of old, when they saw the disciples, you too can remark at the great influence you can have as a congregation at Shepherd the Valley Lutheran Church, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit behind you. I'd like to leave you this morning with a story. A story, a very tender story, a true story, by the way, about a knight, an English knight and his lady. They were married. They had a huge castle in England. This was in the early part of the Middle Ages, many centuries ago. Well, as things transgressed, the Holy Land was attacked from without. And so men were called to the pillars to serve their country and the church to protect the Holy Land and Jerusalem. So this knight volunteered to go. And as he did, he went over across the sea outside Jerusalem gate, and he fought to protect the Christian faith. It just so happened he with a number of other knights were captured. And when they were captured, the enemy general gathered them all together and he said, "Because you fought against my men, I have no choice but to execute you. But before I do so, I'm going to come around and talk to each one of you individually." So the knight heard that he was going to be executed, and he was rather somber about this. And he waited for this enemy general to come and talk to him. And so, a couple days later, the enemy general came to him and said, "No, sorry about this, but you'll be executed. Do you have anything to say to me before it's carried out in just a few days?" And the knight said, "Yes, I do have something to say. I do have something to say. You probably never heard this before, but if you take my life, you will destroy my wife's life forever." And the enemy general shrugged and said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "If you take my life, my wife's love for me is so deep. She loves me that much that if you take my life, you will destroy hers for the rest of her life." The enemy general laughed scoffed and said, I don't believe it for a minute. She will go out in a couple months. She'll mourn over you for a while. Then she'll go out to find a new husband. She'll get married again, and she'll forget you ever existed. Well, the knight said, I'm sorry, you're wrong. If you take my life, you will ruin my wife forever. Well, the general went back to his camp, his campfire. He could not forget what that knight said. And so he delayed the execution of this one knight so he could think about what had happened. 3 nights in a row, he couldn't sleep. He said, I don't believe any woman can ever love a man that much that her life would be ruined if his life was taken. So he said, I am going to find out how much she really loved her husband. So he sent her a correspondence. Now, in those days, it took 2 months through a barbaric postal system for a letter to get anywhere. So he sent a letter to this, unbeknownst to the husband, he sent a letter to his wife. And the essence of the letter, believe it or not, was this. He said, ma'am, due to the fortunes of war, I have scheduled your husband's execution in about a week. But I will hold off on it because he said you love him so much that your life would be ruined for it. I want to see if this is true. And this is what I will do. If you agree to have your right hand cut off and sent to me, I will then believe you love him that much. So 2 months went by, and the letter got over to the woman in England. Upon receipt of this letter, she immediately went to her doctor and had her right hand cut off and sent it to the Mideast. About 7 weeks later, the hand arrived in a package. When the general opened the package, he was astounded to see a withered hand. And he said to himself, I now believe that she loved him that much. He hastened to the knight and said, you are free to go. This hand has proven to me that she absolutely loved you that much. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today Jesus holds out to us his hand with a hole right here and says, this is how much I love you. This hand, this is how much I love you. He points to his pierced feet and he said, this is how much I love you. He points to the wound in his side and says, this is how much I love you. How much more proof you need of my love for you. I went to the cross for your sins. Now go out and win souls for Christ. Dear Christian friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, let us take the message of Jesus, our Savior, out in the world, starting here, across the street, with something as simple as a cross, and say, come and worship with us. We all need Jesus. And you will see the Holy Spirit of God bless this congregation immeasurably. May God grant to each and every one of us not only the power and celebration of Pentecost, but the joy of knowing Christ as our Savior and the impetus we have to go out and tell others about Christ. May God grant that for each of us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Unto life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.